these songs say a lot about what we think about work. Art always tells you what culture is about, and vice versa. Here's some things I heard from these. You know, there's some folks that sing along happily as they're going to work, sure. Work is about paying for your house and your car. Work is about, it's a grind from 9 to 5, and the boss takes advantage of you. It's really about getting to the weekend. If I could just get through this to the weekend, then I can really live and have some fun. And there's always whistles, buzzers, and alarms telling me what to do. It's about my truck and my boots and the stuff that I earn from my hard work, whatever that is. Or in the one case, I do it to make somebody else happy. I'm working so that somebody else can be happy, and then I can be happy. And then I just take care of my business. It's my business, how I do it. I need to take care of it. Now, is that the way God views work? And then the follow-up obvious question is it how people who are following Jesus should view work? I guess my initial answer is I sure hope not. I sure hope that that's not all that we think work is as those who are Christ followers, those who are part of his kingdom. See, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is coming, and he was here to introduce it. That the loving rule of God was exploding in Jesus. He was starting it. He was initiating it. He was kicking it off. That there were different rules. There were things that were going to operate differently. And there was no part of life, work included, that wasn't going to be affected by this new king in this new kingdom who was loving and benevolent and wanted people to join him and follow him. All parts of life are affected by a king and a kingdom, and work is one of them. So how do kingdom people view work in Midland, Michigan, US of A? How are we supposed to view our work? Because there's plenty of other messages of how we're supposed to view our work. So let's be clear about what work is. Work is not just the job you go to 9 to 5 to get paid. It's broader than that. 5 days a week I go here and I'm paid market value for what I do for the company, the organization, whatever. Work is what you do at home to make the home run. That's work. What a retiree does in the community and church that creates value for others. That's work. If you're a student, going to school and being a part of that school community is your work. That's what you do. And it's also that part-time job that you do on the side that many people are doing. That will lurk a little here, a little here, a little here, and it all adds up to meeting their needs. That's all work. Here's a blanket statement I want to make, and then we'll get more specific. Here's what I believe Scripture is very clear on. Work is holy. Let's let that settle in a little bit. Work is holy. What's the Bible mean by holy? Something set apart for God's use. That's all holy means. Something that God takes, he sets it apart from other things for his use. In that case, work is holy. Anything that can be done as if we're doing it for God. And we'll read that verse. You saw that verse up on the screen. No matter what that thing is, if it can be offered up to God for him to do with what he wants, then that thing is holy. That's what it means. See, this is where we stop making to lists. See, if you've ever done that activity where you take a legal pad, you put a line through the middle, and you put pros and cons. You're trying to make some big decision. Pros of this decision, the cons of this decision. See, we kind of think in terms of life. In our culture, we're encouraged to believe that life is like that. There's one side where you've got the spiritual, the holy, the God stuff. You know, like going to church, reading your Bible, helping people out, being kind, serving neighbor, serving the poor, worshiping on Sunday, prayer, all those kind of things. Those are on the left side. Those are holy, and those are spiritual. Then the other side is, you can use whatever category you want, secular, carnal, ordinary. There's just the ordinary stuff. And then we put work at the top of that side of the list. It's ordinary, but it's pretty important. See, we do work in order to survive so that we can do all those other things that really matter to God. Are you picking up on the sarcasm that I'm laying down when I say that statement? That's the way we're encouraged to view work as in our culture. I'm just going to do this so I can get to the stuff that I really want, okay? Well, you work a lot, so that's a lot of doing something so I can get to the good thing that happens in a small amount of time. Now, I'm very aware of that as I'm saying this, some of you really don't like your jobs. Some of you are happy in it. Some of you had a good boss. You don't have a good boss. This is going to hit people in different ways. And for goodness sakes, we're on Labor Day. You're not supposed to labor. Now you want to talk about labor. That's why we had a little fun at the beginning, okay? God doesn't have two lists. He has one. Just one list. All the stuff's on it. A life that is fully surrendered to Jesus as King, so that that person, wherever they are or whatever they're doing, doesn't have to separate life into two categories. That's what it means to be in the kingdom. There's not two categories. Everything is open to the kingship and the loving, benevolent rule of Christ. And that includes our work. It's not in a separate category, something just to be tolerated. And we're going to mention a few people from Scripture who their work situation was not ideal. Prison. Not an ideal work situation, right? But we'll get to that. See, God can choose to receive as much glory and pleasure from the work I do and the way I do it than he can from the praises that I sing in church or when I read the Bible or when I pray or when I do good works to the poor or whomever. God can choose to receive as much glory from your work and how you do work as all those other things. Because there is only one list. There's not two lists. They're not holy and secular. There's not ordinary over here and spiritual over here. We tolerate this side. We have to do it so that we can do the things that are really important to God. If God has only one list, then what does that mean for our work, since it's a part of that, and we're a part of his kingdom? See, if we're operating in our own kingdom, then in my kingdom, my work is mine, and I have goals, and I have things I'm shooting for, and I have things I want to achieve, and I have the way I want to do it. You notice the primary word there is I. But as kingdom people, we get an opportunity to view work with a totally different lens, and this is not like the rest of the world. So how are we going to view our work? See, if God only has one list and all things are holy if they're given to him, here's the first thing: you are not where you are by accident. That's the first thing that we can get to when we're looking at a one list deal. That God wants to view your work as holy. He wants you to view your work as holy. Now, what we're seeing in American history with some, and we're primarily talking in terms of millennials, but this is an issue for everybody. There's this sense of how being satisfied at work is really a challenge. Because there's a sense that I want to make a difference. And if I see in my work that I can't make a difference, then work becomes soul-sucking, and I got to go find something else. A person quits a job because it's tough and they don't like it, and maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't, but it's sucking the life out of their soul. Now, here's the thing I've learned, and there's sometimes you got to go. Sometimes you got to just get up and go. And it's not the right place, and God tells you this is not the right place, it's not the right situation. If somebody is doing something unethical or moral, then you got to get the heck out of there. But here's what I've learned, is changing location, the company, the context of work is typically not the answer. See, here's what I learned in the moves that I've made. When I've been in some place when work got really hard, here's the thing, way I try to view it, is I could go to someplace else, but I'm probably going to take the main problem with me. That would be me. Because a big part of it is how I view what I'm doing. Again, I'm not trying to minimize if you've got a rotten situation that you're in, and it's really a struggle. As kingdom people, I believe we need to assume that we are where we're supposed to be until God makes it clear we're supposed to go someplace else. Because there's freedom in knowing I am where I am and God can use me here. There's some freedom in that. Because then I view this difficult situation or good situation with a different lens. Because my work, how I do it, and what I do is holy because I'm offering it to God. And a change of situation may or may not be what is going to be helpful to me. Here's some examples in Scripture. We just did this when we if you were here for our summer long, we still have our decorations from our message in the bottle. Our series is Paul was writing to the church in Colossae from where? Prison. He was writing from prison, okay? Not the ideal work situation. See, nobody says, you know, I want my job to be where I'm incarcerated, okay? That's what I want, you know. I don't have to think about anything. I got my meals. They tell me where to go. That's what I want. No, nobody's looking for that. What did Paul want? He wanted freedom to go visit these churches that he had started and other people who started that he wanted them to flourish. He wanted to go visit them. He wanted to have, everybody wants to have freedom. This was his work. He started churches and helped churches continue. This was Paul's work. And he had to do it away from these churches in prison. What's the end result? Do you think him being in prison and writing letters was more effective than him going to those churches? Well, yeah, we read his letter. Okay? We wouldn't have been there for his visit, right? So the fact that Paul's situation was rotten, God used that for his glory. And we are being blessed at Eagle Ridge Church of God because we spent a whole summer reading a letter that he wrote while he was in prison. See, if we can view that I'm not where I'm at by accident, and if I can think that way, it doesn't make up for all the bad things that are going on, or it doesn't change, but it changes me. See, now, I know what I'm doing here. I'm here to honor God by the way I work and by what I do and to bless the people around me. Joseph, remember his sad story in the Old Testament? Sold into slavery by his brothers. Then he goes to work at Potiphar's house. He's basically a slave. Again, not the ideal work situation where you're owned by somebody. Can we agree upon that? And so in Potiphar's house, he excels so much that Potiphar puts him in charge of his whole household until the wife starts hitting on him, wants him to get into bed, and then he gets thrown into prison. Again, now, and the work situation just got worse, right? This was not an upward move. This was downward. He went from slave in a house to prison. Again, how he did, the skills he had, and the way he was useful to the people around him, he moved up the ladder again and became incredibly useful in the prison. Then, it's a long story, but then he gets out. And then, you know, he's, you know, one of the head guys in Pharaoh, in Egypt, and he's over all these other things. And time again, what happens with him? His work situation changed, but Joseph worked and operated and handled himself the same everywhere, didn't he? So this guy assumed that where he was, God could use him and could do something through him, and he did things well. He didn't just blow it off. You know, what he could have done was he could have slept with his boss's wife. Not like that with the first or last time that's happened. He could have pouted in prison, or he could have used his climbing up the ladder in Egypt for his own fame and fortune and gain. He could have gone a different route, and the story would have ended differently. Here's a verse in Romans. You know this one if you've been around for a while. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So God, it's not saying everything is good, but it's saying God is working in all those things. In all those situations, God was working with Paul and with Joseph and all these different people. And we could list other people. We could list your situation. God can work through you and me in any and every situation he puts us in. See, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're following Jesus, being changed by Jesus and committed to his mission, then you're being called according to his purpose. So this is true about you. So does that mean that God is ambivalent about your context? If you're one who is called according to his purposes, and he's gonna make all things work together for your good and for his kingdom? Of course. Of course that means he cares about your context. You know, sometimes I get the feeling we think that where we are is like some shock to God. Oh my gosh, I had no idea that Deb's going to be teaching in a Catholic school. That caught me way off guard. I didn't see that one happening. Oh my gosh, what a haymaker! Again, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying everything's got that means everything's good. That means I view what I'm doing differently. That I am where God can use me. If that's at Eagle Ridge Church of God, if that's at Dow Chemical, if it's that's Midland High, Jefferson Middle School, Burger King, or whether you're in the laundry downstairs in your apartment complex, or you're volunteering at Young Lives or Pregnancy Center or Adoption Officer, whatever, wherever you are. That's significant, and God is interested in that, in where you are. Another thing that, if where you're at, there is somebody who doesn't have a path to get from where they are to meeting the Jesus that you know and follow and love and are part of his kingdom. They don't have a path, i.e. a bridge to get there. Well, you know this verse. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting their sins against people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Reconciliation, reconciliation. It's all over this verse. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering of our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This is about, if we could also view the fact that we are where we are because God wants us to be a bridge there. He wants us to be the path that somebody comes to know the love and forgiveness and fellowship and peace that we have in Christ. Maybe that's why I'm there. In that difficult situation or that good situation. See, this is about changing, it is about changing everything by viewing where you are differently and viewing the value of your presence there differently. Your presence, if you are one in whom Christ dwells and you live in his unshakable kingdom, which if you've stepped over the line of faith, that is reality for you. That is a new reality for you. Then your presence, just you being where you are, is incredibly powerful because you take the risen Christ with you. That's significant. I'm trying to think differently about where I am. I'm trying to think differently about when I'm here at this office and when I'm doing work here. I'm trying to think differently about when I'm coaching tennis at Midland High. I'm trying to think differently about that and the kids and the parents and a varsity coach that I'm with. I try to think differently about when I'm working on my computer at Burger King. where I get to have a conversation with a guy who is a recovering addict, who's clearly got some mental illness, and he's recovering from cancer. I am absolutely fully capable of not even noticing that guy. I'm not telling you this story to brag. I'm just trying to view myself differently. If I'm sitting there for an hour and a half, that's where I'm supposed to be. And I need to pay attention, because there are people who need a bridge. And see, I'm no more or less suited to be a bridge than you are. When you're working in your office, by that person who just got moved toward, that's struggling in a divorce. When you're teaching in school, or maybe you're a parapro, or you're in the school system in some way, and you're around broken people all the time. You're in a social work situation. My wife's a social worker. Where you're in situations where dealing with people. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing in the community, whether it's paid for or not, there are people who need a bridge there, and you're the one. And praise God, because you are fully qualified to do that, because you're one in whom Christ dwells and you live in his unshakable kingdom. So we get to be a bridge. So where, you know, students, is it an accident that you're a leader on your team? Did that slip by God? What a shocker. He didn't see that one coming? No, that's on purpose. Is it an accident, students, that you're good at math around people that are not good at math? Is that an accident? Moms and dad, is it an accident that you happen to be seated beside at PTA meetings or at school meetings by that really wound tight mom and dad? Is it any accident that suddenly you got put beside at your office? Is it any accident that you got moved to a different spot where you're sitting beside or sitting near somebody who English is their second language? Is that an accident? No, those things are not an accident. Those things are an opportunity for the kingdom of God to be displayed. Kingdom people have a sense of constantly being sent. You and I are constantly being sent somewhere. And that's powerful. If we go into whatever situation we're going, where we work, and we have a sense that we've been sent. Jesus was a carpenter. He could have been any job. And here's the great thing about it. Today, he gets to be every job because he goes with you. Isn't that amazing? The Savior doesn't have to choose an occupation like carpenter anymore. He's all of your stuff, because he goes with you where you take him. He goes with me where I take him. Flourishing in our context, in any situation, is a sign of the kingdom. See, kingdom people know that the gifts and abilities that they have that enable them to do their job are not their own. They are a gift. Again, you're good at math. You're good at this. You're able to talk people down from the edge. All of those are gifts. You are a steward of those. They're not yours. They're on loan from the king, the benevolent and good king of whom you are part of his kingdom, and now you get to use them. But you're a steward. You have to use them. See, if there's only one list, and all things are holy if we give them to the Lord, then it matters where we're at. But also, work is more than just making a living, buying, and consuming. We kind of know this anyway. We intuitively know that there's something more to our work than just the stuff we can buy and that enables us to survive, and food and housing and all those things. See, work is good, not just because of the things that it provides for us. It is inherently good. To God and through God, I believe that work has value in and of itself, apart from just what enables us to earn. Yes, God wants us to meet our very real needs, and that's one of the blessings of work. But to God who created work and Christ who redeems it, there is more value than just what it can be done for us. For God, work is not simply a means to an end. Then we're back to that working for the weekend. Work is a means to an end so I can get to the good stuff. So then I'm spending a lot of my time doing something that's just a means to an end. then I can't view myself as where God wants me to be, because I'm ready to get out of there. In Genesis, there's a real sense that work was a curse. When they were kicked out of the garden, now they've, you know, the sweat of their brow, they got to work the fields, you know, and then we got Cain and Abel, he's got to work hard. There's a sense that there was a curse. Sometimes I think we still view it that way. But here's again, that stuff's all been redeemed. Work has been purchased, and now it has value because then it's given back to God. Look at this in Colossians. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Boy, I have a hard time with that one. But boy, when those lucid moments, do you ever have those lucid moments at work when you really do see that you are working for God? They're moments. It's not all the time for me, and I'm sure it's not all the time for you. But isn't that powerful when you're in that sweet spot and you know, me, the gifts that God gave me are right for this very moment, and I'm here, and I'm sure it's not like that all the time. It takes work. Do you recognize that verse from when we read it? Now, full disclosure, that's Paul talking to slaves, but it's in the context of Paul talking about in every relationship, in every part of Roman and Greek culture, the kingdom of God and the lordship of Jesus will affect every corner. And that includes work, how we work and what we do. Jesus is to invade all parts of our life and all parts of culture. See, in our America, in our culture, we've made it about the American dream. And that started out as a good thing. But at some point along the line, it became about, the American dream became about all of that, that if, you know, if I, well, we'll start very at the beginning. If I study hard, get into the right college, get into the right program or whatever, a study or trades or whatever, I get into the right thing, that I can make enough money and that I can have the things that the culture says are reflective of me being successful. And then I can also get, you know, the relationships that come along with those things. That's where the American dream went south. Because none of that is about work being inherently good and an honoring to God. It's about what I can get out of it. And the reason we bring this up, and I bring this up, it's not to insult you or wag a finger at you, but this is just what our culture is telling us all the time. And what we don't want young people to do is think that that's going to be your main focus. See, we talk about folks like me all the time being called, but then we ignore everybody else's calling like that's not, you know, it's just random where you end up working. But the really holy stuff on the left side of the ledger that I do, that's about a calling. Again, and you're picking up on the sarcasm, right? I mean, I think it threw up a little in my mouth when I actually said that. I want students and young people to have a sense that God has their hand on there and is calling you to something. And it's not just about, you're not doing that thing just to get the trappings that give the appearance that we're doing well and that we're successful. See, it's not even about the money and the stuff that we can be bought by the things that we work at. It's the pursuit that's been hijacked. The pursuit was supposed to be for us the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. See, our focus as kingdom people is supposed to be his kingdom. It's about following Christ. And all these other things will be added to us as well, it says. So if we understand that we aren't where we are by accident, that work has more value than just what we can get out of it financially. And the last thing is, work is an act of worship. Now that may sound just strange. Work is worship. In our minds, that's the obvious to lists thing. Because work and worship are clearly two different things. I mean, We're here on Sunday worshiping because most of us, not all, don't work on Sunday. Work, separated, I mean, keep the Sabbath holy. I mean, we're going to keep the Sabbath holy so we can not work, and then work is over. Then we have two lists again. What's the problem with that? Well, then we have to look at what worship really is. Worship is a response to who God is and what he has done. That's all worship is. Anytime you or I respond to who God is, who we know him to be, and what he's done in our lives, that's worship. See, now we're back to one list. My work can now be worship. Singing, and the reason we do singing is because that's a really obvious way that you can respond. We sing about things that about who God is and what he's done. But our work can be the same thing. Also, worship is an offering. I give it. In this setting, we pass the plate. A very tangible way, I'm offering something. But our work can be both of those things. It can be a response, and it can be an offering. Look in Ecclesiastes. As it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health that to enjoy it, to enjoy your work and to accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. Okay? Your work and my work is a gift. When we respond to God and we offer that back, and we use the abilities he gives us to be good stewards of that work, then we're worshiping. Wouldn't that be crazy? I mean, to say just Tuesday, this is going to be awesome. Tuesday, we're all going to go get up and go worship. I mean, you think I'd lost my mind. Well, maybe you already have. Maybe that started with hi-ho. I don't know. And then it just the rest of the last few minutes have just proven that fact. If we were able to view our work as such, see, now we've gotten back to the point where work is holy and there's only one list. Whatever it is, if you're a student, if you're volunteering, if you're retired, whatever you do that puts you in different relationships, in different contexts during your week, that gives you an opportunity to serve God, serve people. If we can offer that up, then we have one list. We don't have to be two list people where, man, I got to do these other things so that I can do the things that are really important to God. Newsflash. He knows where you are when you work. That's important to him. It really is. It doesn't matter what you do. It's important, and it can be an act of worship. We're going to be heading off to worship on Tuesday. Wherever you're heading off, back to your house, to an office, to a school, to a wherever, remember, those things aren't an accident. Those things have more value than what financially we can get out of them. So Tuesday, we go back to work. Some of you, the gal I work with, goes back to work this afternoon. But if we go as people, I'm a broken record, and that's that's on purpose. If we go back to where we go, as people in whom Christ dwells and who are conscious they are living in God's unshakable kingdom, it is inevitably moving forward. Then we're going to operate differently. We're going to view ourselves differently. And we don't have to be those people. We don't have to be those people that we know that we're going to minister to who hate what they're doing, who are only doing it for the weekend, that cannot wait until they don't have to do it anymore. We can be different. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do. And we're going to worship you today as we head out of here. We're going to sing. But that doesn't end our worship. We're going to worship you because we're going to have a different attitude when we go into our work. And that's your Holy Spirit. Help us to be conscious as we come into fall that you want to use us wherever we are and you want us to be a bridge. In Jesus' name we pray.